Welcome to I Don't Need an Acting Class with Milton Justice.
So from time to time, we like having guests join us. And today, Mark Ruffalo, who both studied with Stella, studied with me, was directed by me, directed me, has recently opened in Poor Things and gotten phenomenally positive critical response. So I decided to invite Mark to join us today. So they don't know what writing looks like.
Yeah.
And so then periodically, my God, you get to do a piece like Poor Things. And it's not just what writing looks like, it's what filmmaking has the potential of doing.
Yeah.
And
I would say that's true. I mean, I don't know when I've gotten to say, it's only been in theater where I've actually got to say words that were sort of that imaginative, well-crafted, just perfectly that character. Unless it's, you know, unless I'm playing someone who's real, who you know, a real person.
I have fabulous memories of you, of course, and, you know, suddenly screaming in that brilliant Mel Berenson play we did when you just suddenly stopped and said, "My God, my best friend committed suicide. I feel nothing. What kind of actor am I?"
Yes. I
think, oddly enough, what made you a pain in the ass when you were younger, it has become your strength, because you know when you're lying. And that's really interesting. I mean, one of my favorite Stella quotes is, "When you lie on stage, it should hurt." And I think that was your frustration. I think your frustration was always you knew when you were lying and you didn't yet have the tools to solve it.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to know, how did you move beyond into that? Do you have any idea?
I mean, I don't even know where that actually came from, honestly, other than that feel, just being very frustrated that it wasn't it wasn't true. Well, you know, you were there with the fucking throwing the books, you know, the temper tantrums, you know, the yelling and the frustration with Godot, trying to uncrack that nut. Yeah, that was... probably my gift, I guess. You know, over the years, like you said, I have gotten to learn how to access those things, you know, just through probably just a lot of experience. I've just been lucky to have so much experience up against, you know, all the plays we did. We did, what, 30 plays?
Yeah.
And so you just learn a way of working through that. And, you know, I still cringe at certain things. I still get really frustrated. A lot of it, Milton, and you're right, it has to do with writing too. It's like, you know, the Berenson play really didn't give us the ramp to get to that moment. You know, I mean, it's also, I wasn't, I didn't know how to get there, but writing helps a lot. You know, if it's done well, it really does sort of, it sort of funnels you into the moment and it builds it properly for you. And it helps you quite a bit. Sometimes you don't have that. You still have to access it. I guess, you know what it is, ultimately what I didn't have that I do feel like I've, you know, developed over the years is imagination, you know, being able to, you know, I remember Reservation Road. I had to hit a kid in a car and I kill a kid. And I was like, I don't understand that is, you know? And so I just went to really building that event and seeing his face, you know, at the moment of impact and the fear and the shock and then, you know, the flash of the body. bouncing off the car and into the ditch. And the moments preceding that, and you know, that became the core image of that whole character's journey through that movie, you know. And that's when I was really like, okay, if you invest in that time, you know, and you build that the way we were taught to do it, that can feed you, and if you're open to it, it can move you. And so, you know, that's something that I keep finding myself going back to.
It was interesting at the Q&A in New York on Poor Things, and it was very funny because Emma and Willem both thought it was so weird that when they were rehearsing, they were in sweatpants and you were wearing pants. And I was talking to my student Caleb about it, and I said, here's something you have to know. I arrived at rehearsal for Godot one day, and I said to our friend Tim, who was playing Pato, I said, where the fuck are Mark and Chris? And he said, they're on Hollywood Boulevard looking for boots. And so I said, you finally arrived back. And I said, the funny thing is, we did a revival of the production 10 years later, just because we were all involved in the same theater and we were doing a fundraiser for the theater. And it was like a one night only thing. And I said, both Chris and Mark still had the boots and the costumes. And I said, the only difference was Mark hadn't washed his in 10 years, but.
or the, from the day we started rehearsal.
No, never did. It was so interesting. But my thought about the way you work is that you layer in piece by piece what you can believe. Is that even in the ballpark of it?
It's like what, not only what you believe, but what actually is informing your reality. You know, what I learned so early on from being yelled at from Stella by Stella was just, you know, how important it was to have a costume. And you know, there was a reason for that, because you know, it starts to tell you so much about your character. And I remember I was talking to a perfumier, a friend of mine, and he's like, have you ever thought about, you know, do you ever use scents as a character? Like, you know, do you ever wear a scent that a character might wear if they do wear a scent? And I was like, actually, no, but that's a really interesting question, because, you know, our sense of smell is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, what would this character be? I mean, and I sort of explained it to him. He's like, oh, you need to be wearing oud. And so I went out and got some oud, which is fucking expensive. And and I was wearing that, and you know, it's very, it's kind of stinky. It's very rich. It's very sultry. It's very old. You know, even that little thing was giving me a little bit of Duncan. But like you said, I, you know, when I was going to rehearsals, I was like, I need to put something on that is going to help me, because I don't understand this guy at all. I mean, he is so far away from me in every way.
I love that you turned the part down when they offered it to you, and that you said to Yorgos, I can't play this part. And he knew you could, which I think he's a genius for knowing that.
I can't believe I'm so grateful that him and Emma saw me in this part when I really couldn't. I mean, who else is going to give me this part? Who else has this part to give?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, like, this part doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. And yeah, I was really selling myself short. And God, thank God, you know, everybody, Sunrise, my team are like, are you out of your fucking mind? You have to do this. Of course you can do this. And, you know, I'm so happy I did. It was so liberating for me.
So listen, just a reminder. Our sponsor, WeAudition.com, is a total full-service platform for actors where you can find a reader, you can put yourself on tape, you can get an acting coach. It's also really cheap. You sign up for like $10 a month. However, the good news is anybody who listens to our podcast gets a 25% discount by plugging in the code ACTINGCLASS. Anyway, I suggest that you try it out because it's terrific. You and I did two plays together early in our lives, and neither play were we ready to do.
No,
I
which was our,
mean,
which was what we, it was such a luxury for us to do theater in LA.
the fact that we did Long Day's Journey in Tonight, which is, I mean, what the hell was I doing directing it? What the hell were you doing playing it? Fortunately, we had 5 months of rehearsal. And
Yeah.
even though that's become mythological, the truth of the matter is what we did night after night after night was go through every technique exercise we knew, trying to find it.
Yeah.
And we had the time. And I learned how to direct and teach. And you got to experiment. And
Yeah.
you know, and that was really another gift.
So unheard of.
Yeah, and nobody would ever have 5 months of rehearsal. And if we did have 5 months of rehearsal, there's no telling what we could come up with. And then, of course, the next play that we did together, for reasons that make sense but don't make sense, was Godot. And but this is what I really remember. This is it's because I've seen a lot of Godots. And they never measure, I hate to say this, they never measure up to our production.
True.
Rather than actors who start from the outside and first do the clown act, you were working from the inside and layering on little by little. What and you know, another great Stella quote, I have a lot of bumper stickers of hers, and one of them is, I can believe this much today. And I felt like that took me off the hook about everything.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it's like I can believe this much today. I don't have to do the whole performance. I mean, it's affected all my directing and teaching, is I don't have to do the performance. I don't have to walk in with the way I envision it being at the end of the day. That's fine. But it's like I can believe this much today, and that's me, and that's fine. And I really do think that is an enormous strength of yours. And that's what I that's what I mean, the reason I wanted to talk to you about it is because I think that's important. I think the way you built this over the top character, I mean, we believed everything. I mean, you said you were worried about the accident. And I said, well, what, how could you worry about the accent? It's an invented character. Of course, he has an invented accent.
He's, who even knows if he's even English?
Who knows? Yes, exactly. What is he?
Well, so going back to it, the seeds were certainly planted with the style that we found for Godot. And it was a similar process here because I did try the naturalistic version of this in my own time, and you know, the hours that I'm wandering around talking to myself in the shower, when I tried every single attempt at how what this was, what the style of it was. And it was very similar to Godot. I mean, what we were banging against was what the dialogue, what was the style that the dialogue had to be framed in to make it actually work. And And we, you know, like you said, it wasn't Chekhov. We kept bouncing off of this idea of realism, you know, and it just kept kicking it out. It was just like, no, that is not it. And, you know, there was the cue of Charlie Chaplin. I mean, we were wearing those clothes. And again, it was like, how do you fit those? What are those clothes telling you, you know, in the moment, but also historically, like who is the little tramp, you know? And that's when, like, yeah, you were right. That's when we found it. But we were, you know, this is what I believe today. We were working on that relationship. We were working on understanding what we were trying to, what we were saying in this total fantastical world, and having to actually like justify what we were saying, having, you know, coming from that place where it, you just couldn't say the words. You had to, it had to be motivated by some relationship. And so we had, you know, it is, it's that layering process. And it was like this, like that for that, for this, it's like that for every movie I do, but I don't have the luxury of 3 weeks of rehearsal with the cast playing. Yes. And I'm trying things and being outrageous. And so in the same way, I started to scent, I got on the scent of what that style was. And once I understood what the style was, I knew where, how far I could push it. And it said it had to be pushed that way. It, the dialogue, the script was telling me it had to be pushed that way, you know? Otherwise it just wasn't working, Milton. And for some reason, I know when it's working and I know when it's not working.
And it really is unrelenting.
It's unrelenting. It's a nightmare. I mean, it's like, I think probably what scared me the most was knowing like just how brutal it was going to be to get there in a way. But you know what? It wasn't. And yeah, I mean, I had my crazy moment about the accent. I had my crazy moment about the hair. I had my crazy, you know, like I'm always thinking I'm about, you know, 4 hours away from being fired, you know? And that's how I felt. Like, and by the way, the other day, Yorgos did say to Emily, she told me, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. Are you sure this guy can do this? Because Milton, it is that thing of like trying all of this stuff on until I find my way into it. You know, it's literally like bumping into furniture until I like a blind man trying to understand a warehouse, you know, full of furniture.
God, that's so brilliant. I kept watching it. I kept thinking, God, how did the other people put up with him? Because because I knew that it could not have been easy to get to.
No. No, but, you know, we weren't working from the script. We never worked from the script. We literally never talked about the characters. We never talked about the tone. We never talked about the script. We never talked about what it meant. These rehearsals were literally just games and getting intimate. And I would hear, the one cue that I got was hearing Yorgos laugh and hearing the rest of the troupe laugh. And then I was like, okay. But Willem said to me at first day on set, he's like, wow, man, you really are going to go with that. He's like, I thought rehearsal was one thing, but I, you know, and he was like, are you out of your fucking mind? You're going to like go that far and that big. But at this point, Milton, I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm so sick of Mark Ruffalo, whatever that is. I'm so sick of it that literally there was a part of me that was like flirting with disaster. That was like seeing how far I could take the ship towards the reef before actually just crushing it onto the reef and going far.
God, what a, and you had the, I mean, I'm in awe you had the opportunity to do it.
Me too, buddy. It just is like a miracle.
I am surprised you didn't get fired.
Me too. Me too. I'm always surprised I didn't get fired.
Yeah, I know. I know. We all are. I've spent my whole life feeling like I'd walk into a classroom and somebody would look at me and say, "You are so full of shit." And I'd think to myself, "Oh my God, I just got caught." You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
yeah, I have no idea how I've pulled this off.
You know, you're always trying to throw your elbows out to like stay one step ahead of what people expect of you as an actor. I mean, if you're, you know, I just get bored, you know, I want to keep being challenged. And, you know, I want to hear something funny. Yorgos said the other night, he's like, "Mark, you're a terrible dancer." I was like, "What? What are you kidding?" And he's like, "No, you're a terrible dancer, but that's why you're so good." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Because you will keep working until you get it right. You, look at me. Look at me. You can do anything." And I was like, "Hey, no." He's like, "No, look at me. Listen to me. You can do anything." But it's that thing you're talking about. I have to really work really hard. None of this came easy to me. None of it. There's no reason that I should have been an actor. You know, there's just naturally no reason. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, and he saw that. I never heard anyone really articulate it like that.
I Don't Need an Acting Class is hosted by Milton Justice and produced by Walker Vreeland. Music is by Jeffrey Keezer and Nicholas Gabrielson. If you want more I Don't Need an Acting Class, we encourage you to sign up for our bonus content on Spotify. You'll get access to all bonus episodes, including video episodes. Also, check out our website, idontneedanactingclass.com, where you can find more info about the podcast, the book, and of course, you can get all of our latest news about upcoming classes. If you ever have a question for Milton, he loves hearing from all of you. Just send us an email, questionsformilton@gmail.com. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here next Tuesday.